Let's just pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that we can walk as sons of the living God. And I pray that as we go through your word, Father, that you will reveal to us who we are and that we will step into it in fullness in Jesus' name. Amen. So maybe just a recap for those that weren't here last week. We looked at, we started a journey on how we can effectively walk or live as a son of God, because I think sometimes, you know, we just kind of go through the motions. And I love this portion of scripture that we're going through, because last week's one was kind of intense. We spoke about our obligation towards the one who saved us, us laying down our lives essentially and giving him everything, that we have this obligation against towards him because he saved us. You know, Paul writes about that. You know, Paul says that I'm a bond servant. I'm following my God. So I am, we're not there yet, but I think, no. When I have in my obligation to God, when I walk in that way, I need to realize that I stand in debt to the one that saved me. And I think sometimes in Christianity, we lose that side. You know, it's like Paul's also, like I say, he speaks about being a bondservant or being a slave to Christ. But that's not the gospel we often want to hear. Is that I'm a servant. I am a slave to the one that saved me. You know, grace is good, you know. And if I look at Christianity at the moment, it is so much about what I want and what I need and where I want to go and my, that I think sometimes we forget the fact that I am obligated to serve him. And last week looked at that in quite a bit, that we are debtors to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It's probably one of the challenges we have as Christians is to get to that place where our spirit man determines our actions more than our flesh does. Where we don't listen to the flesh anymore, but we listen to the Spirit. And I mean, that all just comes from an intimacy with God that knows us. So the first, last week is obligation. That's verse 12 to 13. This week, we're going to look at assurance. So this is going to be a lighter service, I think. Verse 14 to 16, and privilege. And this is all in Romans 8. Privilege is verse 17 and 18. Is the last one, which we'll look at next week. So let's read Romans 8, verse 12 to 18 again, as we did last week. So, and we started looking at this in the small groups as well. So if you want to dig into it a bit deeper more, you can join us in a small group. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to your flesh, you will die. I mean, that's like the ultimatum there. If you're going to choose the flesh, the end of that is death. And he makes it very clear there. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of your body. And I love that part. Because we sometimes wonder, how can we deal with stuff, the stuff we battle with in our lives? And the answer is just become full of the Spirit. Just become full of the Spirit of God. And through the Spirit of God, and you will be able to put to death the things that you're struggling with. So if you're battling with whatever, just draw closer to God and you will be able to deal with those things. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit teaches us concerning all things. So I believe the Holy Spirit will teach you how to deal with that thing. One piece of advice I maybe can give you when you want to put to death the deeds of the body is don't be hardkoppig. You know? Don't justify your actions, but acknowledge when the Spirit of God is putting his finger on it, and then deal with it. Okay, so you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, then fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified within. So you are welcome to to go read the scripture and study it and meditate on it a bit more. And, you know, maybe come ready to, you know, yes, Lord, you've spoken to me, and then we can explore this further. But like I said, this morning, we want to look at assurance, and this is verse 14 and 15, and I'll just read it again. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, I don't know about you, but that is a good portion for me. That this portion of Scripture just speaks to me so much that man, I know where I'm going. That I have the privilege to cry out, Father, Abba, Father. And this changes a lot, you know, and I know in this side of heaven, a lot of us has gone through a lot of things. Some of us, you know, have grown up with great fathers. Some of us have grown up with absent fathers. Some of us fathers weren't there. So, and that all influences our thinking around our Heavenly Father. And over the years, I've seen how we experience our Father this side of heaven a lot of the time influences how I relate to Father God, and it either helps me or hinders me. But I believe through this, what we're looking at this morning, that God just wants to, even through that, draw you closer as a father and bring you and put you on his lap and affirm you and speak to you and help you. So this morning, like I said, we're looking at assurance. Now, I don't know if I think of assurance, it's a good thing. So I'll demonstrate it to you this way. So I think it was last year, I got this weird email saying that from Santam, I think, saying that there's this investment in your name, and it's got a value of X, and you know, you must just log on here to go see. And obviously, I'm thinking scam, right? Nah, who would have gone, yeah, this is a good idea? I mean, who gives me money? Darsni or Kansni? I mean, I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, no, this is dodge, man. And I think of the second or third time that I got the same email, you know, like in over 3 months, I thought, maybe I should investigate more. So it's to the value of something like 30,000 rand. So now I'm obviously now, boom. I can use 30K. I've got boys studying. I need to pay fees. This is awesome. So I start investigating this thing very cautiously, not clicking on any links, phoning people and so on. Turns out, long story short, that years ago, we had some Sanlam policy that we made paid up. And probably 15 years ago. And now suddenly this email arrives in my bank, my inbox, saying you got money, which I can withdraw at 55. And I'm thinking, this is getting better now. Okay, I'm close. I'm not there yet, but I've got suddenly this funds that's available to me that I did not know of, and. I went in, eventually logged in and everything, and sure, man, the money is there. I can get it at 55. It's a done deal. It's guaranteed, all the rest of it. And I went, wow. Now, I must just tell you, I'm not wishing the years over, okay? 30,000 rand is not worth wishing the years over. But I have assurance of something that's coming. So now where I'm sitting, I'm not wondering. I know it's coming. You know, I paid for it years ago. Since then, it's just kind of been lying there. Now that money's coming, I know it's coming to me. It's not a scam. Yes. But what does assurance do when we have assurance? It brings comfort. It brings security. It brings safety. Assurance puts us in a place where I know what the future is going to be. Assurance gives me this, can I say, almost a place of authority, where I, if I have assurance of something, it changes the way that I engage life. Now, yes, I've already thought what I'm going to do with the money, which is probably pay their studies. But if I have my way, I'll spend it differently. Yeah. John, come on, brother. Ons kan braai. And the fact that I have insurance, if we talk kingdom now, if I have assurance of salvation, if you just look at a scripture and how much assurance God gives us, don't you think that that is the very thing that is the difference between us and those that are not saved? We have assurance. You see, those that are in the world is destined for destruction because of sin. They have no hope. They grab at certain things to give them purpose and hope and so on. And so often it's money or success or whatever, and they're grabbing at these things to have assurance of the future. But the difference between them and us is the fact that through Christ and through what Jesus has done, we have assurance of eternal life. That doesn't matter to what happens to me this side of heaven, I have the assurance that I'm going to see Jesus, that I'm going to be in his presence forever, that I'm going to, you know, that I'm saved from my sin. My sin doesn't any longer determine my future because I've been forgiven. I have been released. You see, our hope of life is based on the fact that I am a son of God. You see, I'm not wondering whether I am a son of God. I know this. Scripturally, biblically, by the Spirit of God, I know that I am a son of God. So what does Romans 8, 14 to 15 assure us of? If we look at this portion, firstly, all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. That's the first thing that we can be assured of. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See, because those that do not know Christ are led by what? Their flesh. And that is why I cannot walk this walk with God in my flesh. My flesh cannot determine where I go. My spirit has to. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And this, in that, there's this invitation to draw closer. There's an invitation to have more of the Spirit, to know, to allow him to govern and steer my life a lot more than I am now. Because in this world, as I walk as a son of God, I will show forth the glory of God as I yield more to the Spirit. The second thing is, you did not receive a spirit of slavery. In other words, fear is not your future. You are not submitted to that spirit any longer. Fear is not your fear. It's not even your reality right now. If you are there, then I guess you need to ask yourself, am I then a son or am I not? Am I in the flesh or am I in the spirit? And so often, I mean, yesterday we were talking about something that's happening in a country. And for a moment, I just felt how fear gripped my heart. And I had to pause and just quickly analyze what is happening in me right now. You know, I remember, you know, when COVID struck, what was the first thing that sold out? Toilet paper. To today, we don't know why. It is a mystery. But you, someone said something and somebody panicked and got the message out that, man, to get through the pandemic, you have to have toilet paper. Somewhere around here, there's people with rooms full of toilet paper and they don't know what to do with it. But you see, fear makes us do stupid things, silly stuff. Makes us react in ways that will not show that we are sons of God. I think and I say this humbly, but one of the things that I noticed when the pandemic struck, what was surprising to me was how born-again Christians responded to this. how born-again Christians were drawn into fear instead of faith. Okay, we can debate about that whole thing and how not to be stupid and all the rest of it, but it was surprising to me. In any case, if you are in fear, you have no future. You will have anxiety and torment. That is what that spirit of slavery brings. And we'll look at slavery just now. And the third thing that Romans 8, 14 to 15 says is we have received the spirit of adoption as sons. You see, I do not have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of adoption as a son. Now, in the Hebrew culture, when a young man came of age, you know, he had a bar mitzvah, right? Now, for us, when the boys came of age, we had a bar barak. A bar mitzvah means son of the law. Bar barak means son of grace. Son of covenant, sorry. She's, the teacher has now sorted me out. Okay, but when a young man comes of age, they have the ceremony. And on the ceremony, the father affirms the son. And part of that is he endows the son with all the rights, the powers, the privileges of being an heir of the family's possessions and status. So when he has that, he now receives that place where he has access to everything. But when this happens to someone that is outside of the family, what we think of as adoption, when the father receives the son in that way, when that ceremony happens and that son is affirmed in that way, they're actually saying that your whole previous life is deleted. Where you come from, what happened before this moment has no bearing on from this day forward. You are now son of the father, and everything that father has now becomes the son's. He's endowed with all that power, that authority, that access to everything that the father has and the family has. And this is a public affirmation, and that's why I believe Jesus, when he was baptized, the father publicly spoke. He affirmed his son right there, saying, "My son, everything is yours." Okay? He would take that son, he would acknowledge him, and then he would say, "This is my son whom I love." And then the whole community knew that this was that father's son. Nobody could argue with it. There was nobody that could go and say, "But no, he used to be," because that's been deleted. You see, and sometimes when we come before God as sons, we think that the past still applies. But scripture says your sins has been removed as far as the east. It's blotted out. He doesn't think about it anymore. It's not who you are. So stop dabbling in that. Stop running back to that, because it's not your, you have an identity shift. You are no longer that son. You are this son. And I pray this morning that in your heads that shift will come, that I am no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a son. I have the Spirit of God in me that says I'm a son of the my past. And can I just now just assure you, because some of you are thinking, you know, Kobus, but I got born again 30 years ago or 20 years or 10 or 5 or whatever. Can I just tell you that is true right now? Your past is your past. You have been redeemed from that. And I think our Father's greatest desire is for us to walk in that identity. You see, this act was not just an act of love, but of trust. Where the father said, I trust you, I believe in you, I back you as you step out in life. If you step out in my name, I am with you. And is that not what Father God has said to us? Go therefore and make this, I'm with you. You've got my full backing, son. Just go, because I have you. All my resources, everything that I have as a heavenly father is to your disposal. Saints, can we just think about that? everything that is in heaven, everything that Father God Almighty has is at our disposal. Then I'm thinking, Quibus, why are you walking like a weenie man? You should step out. Our lives should look like Jesus, I guess. Okay? You see, Satan trembles when we understand who we are as God's children. I want to say that again. Satan is very concerned and worried that you will get the revelation of who you are as a son of God. Because if when you and I, not if, when you and I truly understand that, we're going to mess up all his plans. And he knows that. So his primary focus in spiritual warfare is around your identity. If you do not know who you are, you will not step into who you are. You see, if you are thinking that you're a chicken, even though you're an eagle, you're going to be a chicken. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about? What are you pondering about? About who you are, what your identity is, who God says that you are. Do you even know what he says about you? Do you understand? Or are you letting your past mistakes in your life and your parents and your family and who knows what else, your financial stuff, dictate who you are? No. You see, if Satan cannot stop us from becoming children of God's children, Satan will attempt to blind us to what that means, and in the process makes us ineffective. See, now you become a child of God. If he can just obscure, we spoke about this last week, he loves to work in the secret and in the darkness. So if he can just obscure and hid from you who you truly are, you will be an ineffective as a son of God. And it's true to me as well. Therefore, I need to pursue God. I need to allow the Spirit of God to speak into my life, to affirm me, to reveal to me who I am as a son of God. Now that revelation is not some weird revelation. It comes through walking and studying scripture, walking with those that have walked on this road longer than I am, to hear and learn from them. And through that, the Spirit of God can use them even to teach and equip and train me. See, the evidence of being a child of God is an awareness of the presence, the leadership, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The evidence of being a child of God is that I am aware of his presence, his leadership, his fellowship, his closeness, his love. Come on, that's how I know. It doesn't matter what situation I step into, when the Holy Spirit is with me, when he's right here next to me, I know he will guide me and teach me and instruct me. But I've got so much peace because he will lead me into everything. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit, his presence provides a confidence and a hope that is beyond human understanding. And that is so true. And I've experienced it so many times in my life where I face situations, but the fact that that Holy Spirit is with me just puts a different spin on things. I can tell you stories of where I've been in terrible situations and the way that I react is not normal. Why? Because I didn't react from the flesh, that I can tell you. I'll tell you one instance. We were driving. I knew this girl, the girl whose mom led me to Christ, and we were going to church the one night. We're driving on the freeway, and we got to our off-ramp, and I kind of just wanted to make like, you know, I'm going to miss it, and then at the last moment, just take the free. I was in full control. It's evening, lights, it's dark, and so on. So I kind of just drove past, and the next moment, this young lady decides it's a good idea to help me, and she pulls the steering wheel, and as a result the car started spinning on the highway, going around and around. I mean, I was freaked out. Then there's lights, then there's no lights. Then there's lights, then there's no. We didn't roll or anything, but we came to a standstill between the two highways in that ditch, looking the wrong way towards the oncoming traffic. And I remember the first thing that struck me is that everything stood still. Everything. And I went, that's weird. And I looked at her and I said, are you okay? And she's obviously freaking out. She goes like, yeah, I'm okay. So I'm like, okay, great. So I start the car and I drive over the empty highway. Everything is standing still. Biggest miracle of my life. And I drive and I take the off-ramp and we go to church. And as we drive, she go like, so is that all? I say, what do you mean is that all? She says, you're not going to lose it. You're not going to scream at me. You're not going to, and she's, because her previous boyfriend apparently did stuff like that. And I'm like, no, but we're okay. So what's the point? And we drove on, and I know that that's not how a human being will handle such situation. You know, at least get out and slam the door, something. But I was so calm because the Spirit of God was there with me. Our assurance as a child of God is that if God is for us, now listen to the scripture. This is verse 31 of Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Can I just remind you of the scripture? Of whatever you are facing? If God is for you, who can be against you? So it's almost like that child on the playground that walks to his older brother and says, I've got trouble, please come help me. So it's almost whatever you face, just go to God and say, Lord, I need help. Because when he is with me, who can be against me? See, we are not called to face the stuff that we face on our own. That is exactly why God or Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us to walk with us. Romans 8 verse 15, again, just to reiterate, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. That is no longer who you are. Okay? I do not have that spirit anymore. I have the assurance that that's the spirit that I don't have any longer. And if that spirit wants to come against you, you say to him, wrong address. Wrong address. In Jesus' name. Vat jou goed en trek vir Here. Because once that spirit of fear comes, sits on you, your whole life will change. And that is no longer who you and I am. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So when you have fear, you say, near. I have a different spirit. And then you use some of that power. And you get rid of the enemy, the oppressing spirit, the tormenting spirit that wants to come and rule your life. And you say, no. You see, because our spirit is different. I don't have time to unpack this one, but you can go meditate on this portion of scripture. You see, our proper response as a slave, when you used to be a slave, like Paul says, yet this is who you used to be, my proper response as a slave would be fear for my future, fear for life, fear of death, and fear of having no purpose. Because a slave is under his master, and his master decides everything. A slave has no say of his future, his life, his purpose, or anything. The master says that, and if I understand slavery, there was nothing good in slavery. See, I'm not a slave to that fear. That fear, that master can no longer dictate who I am. That master does not say what my future is, what the purpose of my life is. But as a son of God, my proper response is hope for the future. And I must say, that's the thing that challenged me yesterday was when we spoke about that, my hope for the future was challenged right there in that moment. And I thought, near, not a chance. See, because if I have no hope, what's the response then? Then I give up. What am I doing here? What's the point of all this? This land is going, this country is going down the tube, so why? What, you know, all these questions. But no. I have a hope for the future because I'm a son of God. Man, and if God wants to use me powerfully in this country, then so be it. Okay, it's very quiet. My next one is joy and hope in life. You see, as a child of God, my response is not depression or anxiety or being, you know, cast down. I have joy because my joy is not connected to the things of this world. It's connected to the Spirit of God. When I'm full of the Spirit, I can have joy right now. I have hope. I have assurance of eternal life. Listen, if this life doesn't work out, I've got a whole of eternity to talk about to my Father about it. It's going to be a long discussion. But I'm trusting rather that it will not be a failure, but that I will achieve everything that is set out for me to do. You see, as a son of God, my life is full of purpose, full of destiny, full of it. Because that was my dad says. And all this is fueled and confirmed by the presence of the Spirit of God in me. The best news you can read is whatever the Spirit of God wants to give you. And I want to again remind us, we cry, Abba, Father. When we cry, Abba, Father, it talks about this place where I can approach God as His child, as His son, as my papa. Again, this might be influenced by your growing up, but I want to tell you, your Heavenly Father so intimately desires for you just to sit on His lap, to hear His voice, to instruct you and teach you, to love on you. This fatherly relationship is beautiful. And if you've had hurt in the past, I want to ask you to allow God to heal that and restore it and to reveal Himself to you as Abba Father. We have been adopted by His grace, and we have access to this intimate kind of relationship and fellowship with our Father. Verse 16 says this, the Spirit Himself bear witness with your spirit that we are children of God. And we'll look at this next week. The Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So if you want to wonder if you are a child of God, become more full of the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to minister to you. Allow the Father to love on you, to show you who you are. It's when that happens, I can start walking, I can start living as a son of God. Then I'm free. Then the shackles that bound me is no longer there. So yes, we are debtors. Not to the flesh, but to the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. I'm not a debtor in the same way as a slave, but as a son. You see, it's not like when I'm a slave to God or when I come to Him in that obligation that it's whipping me into shape, but He's calling me as a son. So not just the first couple of verses, but the second couple of verses assures us that we can walk with God in this intimate relationship as we heal to Him, as we allow Him to teach us and instruct us and to help us to grow. All this is easy when I have assurance of the fact that I am a son. And again, I want to say to you that an enemy will either obscure it or keep you from that fact that you are a son or daughter of God. And again, like I said last week, the word, when I use the word son, it's from the biblical point of view that it addresses both male and female, not just men. Okay? I can come to God from a place of gratefulness, and I can receive everything that He has in store to me. I have unmerited favor from this God who loves me, who adopted me as His son. And when I understand that, when I know that, I can go from that place of knowing who I am and change the world. Can we stand? I want to leave you with this quote. I mentioned it at the men's morning on Tuesday. Don't strive to become who God has already declared you to be. Don't strive to become who God already says that you are. Simply accept it. Pick up the authority that goes with your identity. Don't try and become who you already are. See, the devil wants to keep us from that. The devil wants to keep you from walking in a full knowledge of who you are as a son of God. And when Christ died on that cross, the very remembering this morning through the communion again what he has done for us, it unlocks all that you are. It is finished. It is done. You see, it's not something that I have to try and be. It's something that I am. A son of the Most High God. So I want to pray that God will allow us to walk in that. And allow us to walk in that in freedom and in a new level. So can we just close our eyes as we're going to pray? And before I pray, maybe just want to ask, if you've lost your identity as a son or daughter of God, if the enemy has succeeded in drawing you away from knowing who you are, if fear has gripped hold of your heart and your life, if fear is keeping you from actually being a son or daughter of God, I want to pray for you, because that needs to shift this morning. That needs to change this morning. Jesus paid the full penalty. You are free. So if you are struggling this morning, I want you just to raise your hand, and there's no shame in that. Just say, Kovis, I'm struggling here. Maybe you've believed a lie. Maybe situation is just getting you under. Maybe, you know, this stuff. Man, you're just not living like a son or daughter of God. You're living from a place of fear instead of that identity of who you are. Because God wants to set us free here this morning. So Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you that we are adopted as your children, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, that our past has been blotted out, has been completely removed. We are set free from all our sin, our anxiety. We have been set free from a spirit of fear that leads us to slavery. And Lord, I pray this morning as we stand in your presence, Father, that you will once again affirm us as your sons. That, Lord, I thank you that as we stand in your presence, Father God, that we will again hear your voice saying, I love you, I trust you, I am for you. God, and I thank you that every chain of fear is broken off. Father, I pray that even as we journey in this world, Father, and we hear news of possible things that's going to come, that comes through media and different sources, God, that those things will not shake our faith and our knowing who we are. But Father, by your Spirit, that we will act out of wisdom that is beyond our age. Father, like the sons of Issachar, that we will know the times, Father God, and how to move in this world in Jesus' name. That we will walk as sons of the living God. Father, have your way in us this morning. Have your way with us tomorrow. And next week, and next month, and this year, Father, next year, we yield to you this morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can know who we are. We are your sons. we have been adopted. We are set free. In Jesus' name. So, Father, I just bless your people as we go from this place. I just pray your blessing upon them. Father, may they walk by your Spirit, Lord, in your anointing. Father, may your words fill their mouth. May they have boldness by your Spirit to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, to pray for people, to minister, Father God, by the gifts of the Spirit. Father, may you have your way in each one of them in Jesus' name. So, Father, I just bless them as we go from this place. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you intimately. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.